From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, Big Blue Roundtable, Division 4 episode. Got the training camp for first stakeholders. Chris, what's going on, man? How's everything, man?
Hey, man, hey, that's my beat. You know how that works every week? That's my beat, man. That's the blue beat, man. The blue beat means something good about to happen in the next hour. And that's what it means. That means we're going to talk our Giants. That means that we're going to be insightful, informative, intelligent, and have a good old time. That's
right.
What it means.
And we have the last two divisions to discuss. Both teams in the East, AFC East, NFC East. So we're gonna have our rankings as far as going into 2019. Now I was absolutely wrong. I don't know what the hell I was thinking last week, and I apologize to the stakeholders. First of all, any stakeholder that comes onto this episode, shout outs to them because this was a last minute update because we were normally would go on at 8 o'clock in this off season, but I can't, you know, Chris, when you do four leagues, you know, we do, you know, all four sports, you know, time flies, man. I mean, I look up like, damn, the NFL is already here. So I didn't realize the Hall of Fame game was tonight. Mm-hmm. I didn't pick that up. Like, I assumed it was on a Sunday or some shit. So, and we're back because it is the preseason. It is almost, we look at it like this. It's preseason NFL, but it's also preseason for this platform because we kind of have to get into our own, you know, our own groove. We have to get, you know, our post-game shows. And so we got to get back into the flow of post-game shows, pre-game shows, and that's right around the corner. So I was wrong last week when I said, you know, when I took that vote. We'll do it again, whoever comes on tonight, because next week I thought that game was at 8 o'clock at MetLife, Giants and Jets. It's a 7 o'clock game. So now I got to ask you, I'll ask you first, and I think I already know the answer, but would you rather get on before that game, do a quick half hour, like 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., or get on after the game, get on like about, I don't know, 10 o'clock.
I'll take the Let me give. I'll take the first one first.
Really?
I'll take the early. I'm gonna tell you why. I want it because see, I'd rather hear the anticipation than the disappointment.
Really?
with all our stakeholders, or you know, I just rather hear what they got to say, what they're anticipating, how they're feeling. I want to hear the energy. I don't want to hear the, you know, they should have played. No, I want to, you know, I want the anticipation. I want to
I'm shocked. I thought you would have opted for option number two because normally it's a post game. You get the immediate reaction after the game. We, you know, the Bleed Blue Show normally is the first to sound off on exactly what happened after the game. Nobody does it better than the stakeholders. So I thought
that's true.
You would opt for that, knowing that we would be the first ones to discuss it publicly as the game ended.
That's true. And we could get to see somebody we never saw before and go, oh, man, did you see that cat? How long is he going to be in? We should keep him.
That's how I looked at it.
You know what? Either way, it's fine, man. I'm down.
No, you
got to
pick one. You got to pick one. We can't do two. All right.
Let's go post-game.
You want to go post-game? Are you sure? Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
Think about it. All right, think about it. We'll react.
We just filled it. We'll go post game.
All right. I think I'm going to go post game, man. I think I want to sit back and really analyze what happens for the good and the bad and discuss it because it'll be our first post game of the season. And, you know, it's kind of like we get in the groove of things and get ready for our post games normally during the regular season. All right, and also. I really want to get onto this wide receiver issue. Now it's just accumulating through trade, through injury, through PEDs. And how worried is the stakeholders when it comes to that? We'll lead off with other stakeholders and get their thoughts. Let's bring on the definition of Lit, the ninth wonder of the tailgate. Lit, say hello. Just roll call time. Hey, we'll get.
What's going on, Steve? Hey, Chris, how's everybody doing today?
Yeah, it's good, man. Yo, you heard me and Chris. Let me get your vote if you have a vote.
Yes.
Now we're in a little tricky situation next Thursday. You would rather do it, get on pregame before the game, or you want to discuss after the game, like around, I don't know, 10 p.m. Eastern, about 7, 8 o'clock West Coast? What would you rather do?
To me, the later, Steve, the later the better for me, because that would be 7 o'clock my time, since I am 3 hours behind you.
I'm thinking that would work for me.
Real quick, if there's any professional athletes that are on this show today, if you are going to take any supplement, I recommend you consult with your team's doctor first. Don't take the advice of your fertility doctor.
Yeah, we'll get into that. I think that was really interesting, man. We'll definitely get into that. Hold on. That is the definition of lit. Shout out to lit. We'll bring on Kristen and get Kristen's thoughts.
That's my girl right there.
Absolutely, man. She's probably still recovering from Brian Cashman not doing shit at the trade deadline, but that's another story for another day. Kristen, what's going on?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Hmm.
You definitely did. Yeah, I'm still burning up about Cashman. That's a whole nother show. But, yeah, we got a lot to talk about with all this drama with the Giants now. Hi, girlfriend. Right. Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm cool. I'll see you later.
Mr. Jet Setter. I see you.
Now Kristen.
Everything's cool.
Now, Kristen, we're going to take your vote. I made a huge mistake last week on air. I said the Giants and Jets were playing at 8. I was wrong. It's actually at 7. So it kind of throws a little wrinkle in the episode. So publicly, people are going to hear this, and we're not going to talk behind the scenes. We're going to talk right in front of everybody. Would you rather, Kristen, get on here before the Giant-Jet game next week around, let's say, 6:30 to 7? And discuss what's going to happen at the game, or you rather discuss what actually did happen after the game. So that probably takes us about, I don't know, 10 o'clock-ish. And what would you rather do?
I honestly would. I know it's late for some people for the hours, but I'd rather talk about it after the game.
You said after the game? Your phone's going in and out.
Yep, after the game. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm actually with that. I mean, that's our normal spiel anyway. That's what makes the Bleed Blue Show, the Big Blue Roundtable, the post games. I mean,
you'll be
talking about what actually did happen.
Pop off,
you know?
and you're missing all the good stuff, and then the game ends, and now you got nothing to talk about. Like, who am I going to talk to now? We need our therapy sessions at the same time.
That is a great point. All right, so yeah, that's on the table. We could talk our own team. Let's start with Chris. Chris, the wide receiver, Litt started to get into, and then we could go to Litt and then Kristen. And then after that, we could talk anything else, and then also get into the AFC East, NFC East, and how this ranking is going to go. But Chris, your thoughts as far as this Golden Tate situation, and I think it's really unique because I thought Golden Tate, from what I understand, he was really transparent, not only with the Giants, but with the independent drug testers with the NFL. When he found out, when he allegedly found out, it's not like he found out, it was after the fact. It came across as he said, oh man, I didn't know this was in it. Let me tell everybody as soon as I can. And then now, once the results came, now you see what you see. Now, it's going through the appeal process. It may get overturned, but the NFL is really hardcore when it comes to that stuff. And it has to do with, human nature. Him and his family, trying to, create some little ones. So, Chris, what's your thoughts in that whole dynamic? What about the state of the Giants wide receivers as of right now? And then anything else on the rest of the roster? And then we'll get the lid, then Chris, and then I'll sound off.
Okay, so I've been out of the mix for a bit, but this is what I do know. The most important coach that we have is Tyke Tolbert right now. Okay? He's the most important coach because if he's – you know how coaches and coordinators work their favorite players. And obviously, Cody Latimer and Benny Fowler know him, okay? These guys – well, Latimer, he's basically a special teams contributor. And Fowler, I'm not really sure how you really describe him, but I do know that he picked up the Giants offense really, really quickly, and he still is. they've got to step in. They've got to do a bang up job, because I was hyped on Slayton, okay, with the hamstring injury. I'm not going to look too much, okay, like you said earlier, like you alluded to. Tate was transparent, but he's not going to be here, man. He's gone for four games. He's not going to win that appeal, bro. Okay, let's just scratch him. All right. Sterling Shepard. I don't know this. I guess we will now see how tough he really is, bro. You know, I kind of questioned his toughness the last two seasons, man. But despite that, he had flashes, because he seemed to be the Alvin Garrett, if you will, of the Giants, man. He's a secondary receiver who's quiet, and he's just a sidekick. But now, you know, he hurt his thumb. Tough dudes come back despite whatever's ailing them. I'm not sure if he's the number one cat at this point with that injury. So I'm just looking at the secondary dudes, man. And as I'm looking at the secondary dudes, Steve, I'm looking at the fact that, okay, Daniel Jones is probably just throwing the cats right now who have no chance of making the team. And the Latimer and Fowler and whoever else, I think it would be Russell Shepard. These guys have moved up to the number, you know, to the top slot, and they're working with Eli. And they have to perform. They've got to come out banging. That's how I'm looking at it. Next man up. And that's all we can do, man, because we've had enough, all of us. Not only on this, every stakeholder in the world has had enough worry about what we're going to do next every preseason. Previously, it was the injuries or stupid trades or holdouts or whatever. Now, we're almost there to perfection where we have a seamless situation, but it's not perfect. So why don't we just have next man up, see where it takes us. Hopefully it can hold it down beautifully for the first 4 weeks, and we can go from there. That's all I can really say about that. That's all I can really say about that, man. Next man up.
All right. Well, the definition of lit, the ninth wonder of the tailgate world, is next man up. And let get his thoughts on the Giants wide receivers and also the rest of the camp roster. Lit, what's your thoughts, the response to Chris? And then we go to Kristen.
Well, you know, we traded Odell Beckham Jr. to allegedly get better. We signed Golden Tate to help us. Now we have either half full or a very dire situation. I'm at a loss for words on that. We brought someone in to help us, and he will probably be suspended because of zero tolerance. As far as next man up, we're asking for next man up from a bunch of ancillary players. We're asking next man up from a cummerbund, a bow tie. They're all ancillary players that just make the suit complete, and we are going to trust that they are going to take it to the next level when they are just ancillary. And that's really what concerns me. We're putting a lot of pressure for the first four games on ancillary players. We don't really have a bona fide number one. I don't know what to expect from Shepard. Game one, obviously he's, you know, doing cardiovascular, he's doing aerobics, he's doing TRX, whatever he's doing to keep himself in shape. But the focus is going to be on him. I thought with bringing Golden Tate in, it's going to keep the defense honest. Now, once again, we have to earn the respect of the defense. On that note, Golden Tate, I'm very disappointed. 10-year vet, knows about the Robert Mathis situation, should have known better. Whether it was after he was signed, before he took that fertility drug prescription supplement, he should have went to the Giants medical staff and said, am I good? Get something on paper that would have hopefully allows him to win his appeal. He's not going to win his appeal. Zero tolerance, negotiated by the players and the owners. Zero tolerance. That's it on that. And real quickly, Golden Tate, everyone says how he's a consummate professional. He's been in the league 10 years. I just kind of want to rehash a few things, and I'll step onto the side. he had incidents in Seattle. Allegedly, he made love to Russell Wilson's first wife. He broke into a donut shop in Seattle, and he got into a fist fight with Percy Harvin. To me, I'm suspect on that, guys. I'm suspect on that with his history in Seattle. And we'll just leave it at that. 30 years old, could be at the end of his career. Maybe he was doing something to get himself to be back to 21 to 25 again. We'll just leave it at that, guys.
Wow.
Wow.
Shout out to the definition of lit. Let's go to Kristen.
I think with me, the worst thing about all of this is Corey Coleman. You know, the ACL tear is a whole nother level. I am going to disagree with the Kate situation. Listen, the man didn't smoke weed. He didn't sniff a line. He didn't do any of that. He's trying to get his wife pregnant. So I think he's got a good shot of fighting this thing and actually winning it. Yeah, I agree. Could have went to the medical staff, but that's more of a personal thing. That's your private life. You know, I can understand if a guy went and got high with Zeke and we're on a boat some damn where and somebody found out and it's all over TMZ, then I'll be worried about it. I'm not concerned about it. And I'm also not concerned about a fractured friggin' thumb. Really? He's going to tape it up. They're going to give him something to work with, and he's going to work through it. By the time regular season hits, he's going to be fine. So as far as the thumb is concerned, it's not an issue. It's not a serious thing. The guy's not out for the season. He's got a little fracture. They're going to bandage it up, put a glove on him, and he's going to be good. I'm more upset about Corey Coleman of all things. I was looking forward to seeing this guy work for us, and an ACL tear, that's a done deal. So, but like I said about Tate, it's hard to put yourself in their shoes as far as a personal level that he's going through with his wife and not being able to conceive. That wasn't a deliberate thing for this guy to go shoot some drugs and then test positive. I just don't agree with that. I think he's got a good chance of fighting it. It's more on a personal level. It wasn't like the guy was abusing drugs and partying at clubs, and that's a different ballgame. So, but that's where I am with it. I think Tate's going to come out on top. I think he's going to beat it, and we should be okay. I think we should be okay for the beginning. I am actually a lot more hopeful than I was, but we just got to wait and see. We just got to wait and see what everybody does now. And I'm looking forward to Jabril Peppers and all these new guys. I mean, the way we're just going to work together should be phenomenal. And we're definitely going to have a better record than last year. So that's not a question.
Okay, we'll get to that part of the dialogue towards the end of this episode. Shout outs to Kristen. Thank you very much. You know, definition of lit made some points I didn't even think about. And Golden Tate was involved with those disputes years ago as a receiver for the Seattle Seahawks. I totally forgot about that. Now, and the reason why I'm kind of echoing off those excellent points from Definition of Lit, Kristen, Chris, and Definition of Lit, because it goes back to what the Giants said as far as we want to bring in high character guys. So think about it like this. You traded a guy, a franchise, a world of talent guy, in Odell Beckham Jr. because you questioned his character, but he never had no off the field incidents, just on the field, you know, crazy stuff with kicking the nets and then tantruming here and there. But off the field, the guy never had anything, nothing against him. You signed him to a huge contract, $65 million guarantee, just to trade him the following season because, quote unquote, you're trying to clean out, you know, you're trying to clean out the locker room and deal with character, but you brought in a guy who legitimately had character issues. I think that is really ironic that it is played out that way. Now, Kristen, to your point, you know, the NFL's been a zero tolerance type of league when it comes to this drug stuff. You know, I don't think he's going to beat it. Now, I think they're going to look at it just like how I'm about to say it, and it's all about the timetable because I don't know the facts. I'm just looking at it like this. The moment that he found out and he documented it and he let the league know, well, let the Giants know first and let the league know, and it's all documented and it's all time frame within a reasonable amount of time right before the drug test, he may have a shot. But, I mean, when they say zero tolerance, when they say no excuses whatsoever, they really mean that when it comes to the drug stuff. So we will wait and see how that's going to go when it comes to the Giants. Because if he comes back, I definitely give the Giants a puncher's chance, you know, as far as competitiveness, as far as wide receiver, because it's a domino effect. He plays, I agree with Lit, as far as you kind of have to account for him on the field, and assuming he doesn't get injured, you know, the Giants definitely may have some shots in some games. If he doesn't play those first four games, I'm writing the Giants season off. I don't think the Giants have the depth or talent as of right now, unless they add somebody after this episode at the wide receiver position. I know names like Kelvin Benjamin, I don't want him, comes up. But the market for wide receivers right now is very, very thin. Corey Coleman was a huge loss, not only to the starting offense, but potential special teams. So you get a double whammy right there off the bat with Corey Coleman. As far as return to kicking, and you saw he showed a little bit of flashes. It probably would have been Peppers anyway, but they had that extra there with Corey Coleman or whoever is going to be back there. Corey Coleman was going to be a vital piece to the special teams as well. This is a huge blow, man. And then you talk about Sterling Shepard. I'm with you, Chris. You're right. I agree with you. Toughness. How tough is he going to – is he going to come back immediately? Is he going to show some guts over a broken thumb? He should be, like Andy Dog said last week, he should be in excellent condition as far as his athleticism, because your thumb doesn't affect your legs and your wind. But at the same time, and I know, Kristen, you could relate to this when I'm about to say this, but right before we go back to Chris, is he going to pull a John Carlos standing? Is he going to allow a paper cut to sit him out like five, six games?
I don't think so.
The game.
No.
Well, we'll see.
He doesn't strike me as that guy. I know. I hear what you're saying, but he doesn't strike me as that guy.
Okay.
You know, Stan is different. Stan gets in a slump, and he's milking an injury. That's what he's doing. Nobody can tell me different. I have been in sports all my life, and I've seen girls specifically nurse things so they don't have to play or not play against certain people. So they will milk it. I mean, the man's getting paid either way you look at it.
Right.
Regardless. But there should be. I mean, I don't see Sterling Shepard doing that. I just don't. I don't see it in him. He's too young and too driven, I think, to do it. So
I hope not. Now, Chris, if you have a question for Chris and myself or Lit, and then also Chris, I'm taking it. This probably is going to apply to the Giants later on in this episode. As far as camp, I think this team goes as far as this offensive line takes us. Do you agree? Disagree? I think the offensive line this season is the most important area on this team. This team. I mean, other years it could be the defensive line. Another year it could be the wide receivers or quarterback. But I think in particular this year, as bad as the offensive line was, a couple of seasons ago, this is maybe the best thing. I mean, outside of running back, of course. I mean, as a unit, I think this is the best area on the team, I think, on paper. I mean, I think they're a middle-of-the-pack offensive line. I don't think they're great. I don't think they're bad, but I think they are coming together as long as none of these guys get significantly hurt, especially on the right side. Do you agree with that? And then you could take whatever you want, question throw it at Chris.
I can totally agree with that. And what I don't see, because I'm far away and I may have to have answers with it, I think that when you have the personalities of, say, Soldiers and Wheeler, Remmer and Adams and Hernandez, and I'm missing a lot of people I can't think of right now. But you, Evan Brown and all these guys, I think those personalities work well together. I know what they look like on paper. They're not going to overwhelm you, but damn, I think they're up for the job. I think this is one of those seasons where
my man, oh, God damn, I can't believe it. number 26 right there is probably smiling right now because and Zeitler is the other guy. I think you're right, Steve. I think just when we got one part really improved and down, the other part goes down, goes off and breaks down. And I think right now, I think our offensive line is really ready for some damage. They look like a middle of the pack kind of O line, but I think they're better than Washington's and Philly.
No.
But I think they're better than Washington. Okay, so that.
I'm
that
talking about the entire league. What about the entire league? That's what I'm. When I say middle of the pack, I'm talking all three.
Middle of the pack, middle to the lower third of the team of the league right now. Not gonna work, but I don't know. I don't know if we're gonna have to modify the offense or what, man. You know, I made a suggestion last year, man. Why don't they just go ahead and start Ellison and tight end, man, and take Ingram, man, and put him out there on the left side, and he'll overwhelm everybody in the division. You know, that's the thing to do that right now. So,
that can work.
So, I don't know. I to answer your question, I think it's a formidable offensive line. I don't think they're the best. No, they're still coming together, but they're a hell of a lot better than they were before, and I think they will. All you got to do is give Eli at least 4 to 5 extra seconds. I think they can do that. I actually do. I'm that optimistic. But again, are we turning into a running team now? At least for the first 4 weeks? I don't know what the hell's going on from that perspective. I don't know. So that's where I'm at with that, man. That's all I got to say.
Do you have a question for the definition of lit? And then,
I have a question. I got a question for Kristen. I think. Well, no, we don't have to get on that side of the ball yet. I'll hold my questions. I don't have any questions.
All right, let's get to lit. What is my point? You could agree or disagree. The Giants' offensive line is going to make or break how well they play this season. Yeah or nay? Do you agree or disagree with that?
Steve, that's actually a two-part question. I agree to a certain extent. I will agree, but I will also add that there is going to be even more pressure on the offensive line because of our lackluster wide receivers. But this team will be successful, I think, not because of the offensive line, but because of the quarterback. The quarterback will make or break this team.
Okay.
That's true.
Do you have any additional thoughts on just the state, you know, the,
that's true.
You know, the defense, the offense, just going on whatever is going on in camp right now? And then we'll go to Chris.
Well, you know, I'm you know, as far as camp, you know, just from what I've read on Twitter, and I know Steve, you hate that. I hear that there are some Giant players, Sam Beal, Kareem Martin, that are not bringing what we expected them. I could be wrong in saying this, but they're just having lackluster camp so far. Do you guys have any input on that? Because I think one of those guys, Kareem Martin possibly, another one is the tight end. What's the tight end's name? Help me out. I think those two could be on the bubble. But, yeah, Red Ellison, yes. But I'm not been impressed so far by Beal. He's been hot and cold, but most of the time cold. That's my takeaway right now from camp. Supposed to be coming in with all these accolades. He sat out last year but had a great college season. Allegedly, David Gettleman hit on him, but he is he's not cutting the mustard. Concerning.
Okay, shout out to Lit. Let's go to Kristen. Kristen, what's your thoughts on what Lit said and also what Chris said? And then any additional thoughts? And my point, the Giants' season is going to be made or break by the ability of how well the offensive line plays, yay or nay?
Absolutely, yes. It's going to come down to offense, and it's going to come down to the quarterback. And we really have to make that lane for Barkley. That's what's the most important. You know they're going to be all over him. you know they're going to be double teaming him every single time. So as long as those areas are covered, I think we've got a pretty good chance. I know we'll have a better record than last year. It's got to be.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It's just got to be. It has to be. The defense looks fine. The defense looks great. I'm more concerned, like you guys said, about the offense and also about the quarterback. If Eli comes out of the block firing off straight out the ring, out the gate, he's going to be all right. If you see that he's throwing scared to begin with and the line is breaking down, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He needs protection. He needs those couple of inches. And let him do his thing. Let him work. But these guys have to be covered. O-line and quarterback is the most important this season. I totally agree.
Any additional thoughts with this squad? Or you have a question for myself, and then we'll move on.
I really like to see Jones. I really want to see what Jones could do. I don't wish any hate on Eli, but I really do want to see what Jones could do. And not on paper, and, you know, everything looks great on paper. We just got to see everybody together working as one weld machine, and we're good.
All right, cool. To piggyback off that last point about Daniel Jones, I was one who I actually got to see him play in an even, if you want to call it an exhibition game, the North-South game or East-West, whatever it's called. I think it's North-South. That one in Mobile, Alabama. And I never thought in my wildest dreams he would go to the Giants, but I thought he did a good job commanding that drive in the third quarter. I mean, I thought there was two quarterbacks that day was actually good. It was what's his name? Jackson, Lamar Jackson's brother, the big boy, 6'5 cat, 6'6 actually.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was good, but I also thought Daniel Jones did a good job commanding the drive. I mean, he's very fast, man. He actually brings a dimension that if pocket collapses, he's going to take off. He will run it on.
Right.
But anyway, the reason why I think it's the offensive line, because I don't think the defense – I'm not high on the defense at all, actually. I think they're okay. I think they're a work in progress. I think they're two seasons away. They don't have an elite pass rush. They have a bunch of parts to pass rush. But I do like Dexter Lawrence. I think that's a lot of Giant fans are going to get familiar with. I think he's going to have the most underrated season. I'm taking a fly when I say this, but I think watching his games at Clemson and how he dominated the ACC and how he dominated in the national championship game with Colin Farrell, I think Dexter Lawrence is probably going to be the most important player in the front seven, because he's a clogger. He's a guy who's going to – that's the reason why they got him. They replaced him. He's basically a cheaper Snacks Harris. That's what we're going to get. And I never forget what Billy Bob said at one of the post games. Once Snacks Harris left or got traded, teams started running up the middle. When Snacks was there, that option was not happening. But because you're getting a clogger – that actually helps the defense as far as how you're going to attack with pass rushes, how you're going to attack the gaps with blitzes, and maybe you could drop a guy back in coverage. So that's a little to me is going to be an important piece. You put him on to the right side of the tackle with Tomlinson. So I think the defense, I'm not high on them, but I think they're a work in progress. They could help the pass rush, and I like our cornerback situation. And I hear Litt when he's talking about Bill. And they're not confident. You know, I haven't seen a lick of training camp, so I can never really give you that perspective. That's why, Chris, that's why we take the votes, because we're going to see live game action next week, and we can talk about game action, man. That's why I don't care about that camp crap. That camp crap could go to hell for all I care. Because you could look – because remember, Chris, we had that running joke a couple years ago on this podcast, Chris. There was a guy – what was that guy's name? Jerome something. Cunningham, is it, Chris, the tight end?
Yeah.
He was making every catch in camp career and all the hoopla and oh man, he's going to be a Pro Bowler. We were like, oh man, wait till we go. We can't wait to talk about him.
That was
said. And we said, get to the games, and we were like, where the fuck is all this shit? Where's all this shit they're talking about in camp? I ain't seeing it. So I say all that to say, man, camp is just practicing shorts, it's flat football. when we talk after the Snoopy Bowl game, whatever you want to call it next week, we could actually talk about what actually did happen, and we could really break down all the defense the way we need to. Now, Chris, let's get into the AFC East. We already know this is Patriots and everybody else's division. Who finishes first? Who finishes? Well, actually, let's go ahead. Who finishes second? Who finishes third? Who finishes fourth? I think we all know who finishes first. If you haven't figured it out by now, the last 20 years.
Okay, AFC East. Okay, I remember that. So let me see. Dolphins got a new head coach. They got Flores. I like him. They traded away Tannehill to Tennessee, right? I think it was Tennessee. Hey, you still there? You guys there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I thought I dropped you. Okay. They traded away Tannehill to Tennessee. They signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, who always seems to come out banging. And they got Josh Rosen. Okay. And then you got all of these different leadership roles within the coaching ranks. They're done. They're already through. They'll win a couple of weird games this year, you know, with flea flickers or whatever, but they're done. So let's forget about them. They're ready to get that quarterback from Alabama, man, next year. Okay, so that's that. The Bills, let's see. Josh Allen's probably going to look better. But you know what? And their general manager, who I don't know who he is, he's done his best to go ahead and get five. He signed up like five offensive linemen this offseason, man. You know, and he moved up to get – one of them was your boy Cody Ford, Steve, from Oklahoma that I was high on.
The tackle.
Yeah, he got him, the tackle. He's really good. So let me see. McDermott is the coach, right?
Right.
Let me see. They got 6-10 record last year, I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was, if I can remember at the top of my head. I see a similar record this year for them. I don't see any movement. I think it's the same old Bills. I think you're going to see a team that's going to go wild, beat the living bejesus out of somebody in week four just to turn around and lose by 30 the next week. There's nothing really to talk about there. Now, the team that's number two. All right. I don't know what kind of soap opera they're doing up with the Jets, bro. I don't get it. I don't know about the situation with Chris Johnson and Adam Gates. I don't know about the new offensive coordinator. I've never heard of him in my life. But they're supposed to be real high on him. But I do know how Greg Williams coaches defense. Okay. And I really, really think that the Jets will be stoppers at least the first four or five weeks of the season. They're going to be really impressive defensively. Now, offensively, it looks good if you're a Jets fan. You got Sam Darnell, who everybody predicts is going to have a bang-out season, second sophomore year. Le'Veon Bell is Le'Veon Bell, man. You know, he's a dual threat. You know, he comes with a big mouth, fresh legs, and soft hands. He's ready. Okay. And you got Jamison Crowder showed up there. It's a team that really looks like they're going to make a move. But here's the thing. I do not trust their weird-ass head coach. I guarantee you there'll be more to talk about that team in New York than our team, basically because they're a friggin' they're a nightmare. Managerial-wise, and it's not going to work. Which brings us to the team number one. If you look at the Patriots' schedule, man, they don't even go on the West Coast, man. And I think Cincinnati's as far west as they go. They basically play at home. I think they may have an England game. I'm not sure, but they basically play at home the entire year, bruh. Just about. Brady is still there. Belichick will be there. That's six friggin' rings. Robert Kraft's still there. Him and his hookers. I don't know what the hell's going on over there. But I do know one thing. You know, there's no Gronkowski, right? And let me see. I think Cordell Patterson is gone, I think. I'm not sure. But anyway, Belichick always has this magic where he's always able to replace parts. And he's going to do it again. You know, it's very frustrating to hate this team because just when you think they lost enough key players to be dominant, they find a way, they get a roster full of no-names, castaways, play like champions, and there ain't no legitimate reason, Steve, to think they ain't going to be able to do it again this year. So give them another ring, or at least show them, let them see the NFC championship game once again. That's what I'm looking at. This particular division's over.
All right, so it's Patriots, and it really doesn't matter who you got 2 through 4.
You're
saying
matter.
Jets, but I think you said Jets, Bills, Dolphins in that order, or no?
Yeah, Jets, Bills, Dolphins, and after that, yeah, they're the Scottie Pippins, yeah.
All right, Lit, we'll be right back. We'll go to Kristen. Kristen, your thoughts, AFC East.
I hate even saying their name. It's going to be the Patriots. I'm so fucking thrilled. The Buffalo Bills, the New York Jets, and probably the Dolphins. That's my 1 through 4. That's my 1 through 4. Oh, I can't believe I just said that name, but yeah, that's what it is.
You did.
Yep. I'm freaking doomed.
Yeah, I'm not going to waste much time on that, man. I'm not going to waste time. We're all in agreement. I think this is the easiest division of the 8 to really look at. The Patriots, I think the defense is even better than it has been than last year and then a couple years past, because the whole thing about the Patriots the last decade was, were they going to have enough on defense? And they're getting not only they're getting guys back, they're adding guys to that mix, you know, with the Michael Bennett's, and then you add in the McCourty brothers who are now there again for another year with Stephon Gilmore with a Pro Bowl. They're going to win the division. I mean, unless Brady gets hurt. I mean, that's the only way they're not going to win it is Brady gets hurt. And the only time we saw that was maybe a couple of times with the Jets when they went to the AFC Championship. I don't remember if they were they were a wild card team. So the Patriots had home field even then.
Yeah.
I don't remember since what Matt Castle was on the team.
He gave them 11 wins. Yeah, you're right.
Right. They have the best system in sports right now. Just sports, not just football, but sports. So it is what it is. Chris, let's move on to our division. I know Giants fans are itching when they listen to this. Who is the division? What's your 1 through 4? Then with Kristen and myself.
Okay, I'm not gonna say their names. They make me puke. And if you,
I
think Kristen, you think you had a hard time saying that to people. That man, I tell you what. Look, let me try to be positive. Let me try to be positive. Okay, now, if their quarterback, and I'm just gonna say their quarterback, can actually stay healthy for a whole season, because there's no more Nick Foles. Of Nick Foles on that team, they may have a chance at something. Okay, now their general manager, he spent the off season. Let me see. He got Jordan Howard, who's a hard hitter, running back. They got Deshaun Jackson back. They drafted my man Andre Dillard in the first round. He's probably gonna replace Jason Peters, I think, Steve, over there at left tackle.
Right.
That's
smart move.
I think that's what
smart
they're planning on.
Very smart move.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me see. Defensively, they got Malik Jackson now, man. He had a great year last year with Jacksonville. Look, they're the favorites. Okay? Okay, that's it for that. The second team, I don't like them either. I hate them too. But they're weird, man. I don't know what's going on with Ezekiel, who's going to sign. I think this is – I'm glad we didn't get this dude, man. That's just a bad, bad, bad situation right now. Bad press. Okay, they got Randall Cobb, who's still a nice addition. They got him. They came back him with Amari Cooper, which is also still a nice addition from last year. Okay, let me see. They spent like 5 draft picks on defensive talent. Okay, and then they drafted 3 running backs. I don't know if you noticed that, but. And then Jason Witten's back out of the booth. So Dak is back too. He's got a new offensive coordinator. Kellen Moore's pretty good. They've just added more spots to give us another reason to hate them. And I actually see a nice because of the lack of diligence on the Redskins and the Giants, I actually see a nice 9-10 win season for them. That don't mean I love them. I can't stand them, as a matter of fact. But that's another story. They're number two. Number three, well, I'm not saying this team is going to be number three. I think they're going to be number four, but I'm just going to be nice here. And I'm going to say that, you know, Case Keenum with the Redskins, he'll get his second chance after he just, you know, wet the bed last year with Denver. And if he can't find the same magic that he had a couple of years ago with Minnesota, then Dwayne Haskins is going to step right in, and he's going to be there for 10 fucking years. Doug Williams got that boy believing that he is the next great thing, and I think that's going to be all right. Alex Smith has gone in the entire season with a broken leg. On defensively, they went ahead and got Montez Sweat, who I love, from Mississippi State, Mississippi State. And you got let me see the nose tackle Durante. He's back. Hey, they've got good players, but I don't think it's knocked down, drag out. And I didn't say Landon Collins' name, but I'm gonna say it now. He's there too. I'm just gonna leave that there. Then there's us, and I'm not gonna talk about us because that's what this show is about, and we have already spent time on that. And that's it. I'm just going to say that one and two are the team from Philly and the team from Dallas, and I'm going to make it a draw between the last two teams. That's it.
A draw. Let's get to Kristen. Kristen, who wins the NFC East? Matter of fact, who is your 1-4 and why?
God.
I know.
Okay. First, this is hard. I hate this freaking division. For the top two teams in there, and everybody knows who I hate. So it's going to be Eagles first, unfortunately.
I know.
I don't even want to say it. I don't even want to say it. Fuck that.
Keep it real.
Say
that
too. Cowboys in last place, freaking Giants in third, and Redskins fourth.
Say that again? You said Eagles won.
Okay.
Cowboys
Eagles won.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I have to. I just can't do it again. I can't. Listen, I already swallowed my pride with New England. If you think for one second I'm going to have the Cowboys
rank
number two.
You want to put a bet on?
Absolutely not. No, I don't. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No.
No,
Cowboys in last.
All jokes aside.
Okay. Eagles won.
Right.
I'll give them that much. Redskins, Giants, Cowboys.
Redskins, Giants, Cowboys. Okay. You were going more in depth with that or nah? You wanted to leave it at that?
Ugh, it's disgusting. I'll leave it alone.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we're all in agreement as far as who's going to finish in first. It didn't even matter if Ezekiel Elliott was going to sit out or hold out or whatever you want to call it. I think the Eagles probably have the most balanced roster in the NFL. And that's just – and, Chris, I know you hate the Eagles. I understand it because I hate a lot of Eagles fans too, man. I mean, we've been to games down in South Philadelphia. But I got to keep it real. I got to be objective, man. And if I had to bet with money, man, their roster is too balanced, man. I mean, we're talking even more balanced than the Patriots. I'm looking at teams in the AFC. They may be more balanced than any – maybe the Chargers. And I think they're better than the Chargers, honestly.
Right.
If I was to be real honest, like, yo, they have a top three offensive line, arguably could probably be the best offensive line in the NFL. I think the Cowboys is top three, too. So they're literally one – put them in whatever order. The Eagles and the Cowboys are a top – both teams have the top offensive line. Like you said, they made the draft pick with Dillard to become – you know, when Jason Peters does get hurt, it's the easy plug and play right there. So they're not going to lose a beat when he gets hurt. All
right?
So they're good. They still got Lane Johnson. Jason Kelce is probably the best center in the NFL. Or Frederick. I mean, you could shuffle, you know, flip a coin. They have the snapper that's going to call blitzes and right. check make the right checks to their quarterback, whether it's Winston or Prescott. They have the best center. Both teams have the best center in the NFL. So they're good.
What really bothers me, what really hurts me more than anything else about that, Steve, is the fact that they were very aggressive when it came to roster changes and evaluation. They knew what they wanted, and they went out there and got it for the right price, with the right kind of maneuvering, on you know as far as the roster positions and this and that, and they improved themselves. And also the other thing they did is they talked to their players that were outgoing, they were about to trade. Say, hey, listen, this is why we're making this move. And that's the sign of a sound organization. It bothers me to say that, but you got to give them that kind of love right now. And that's the kind of tranquility they have as an organization. And I'm not going to say any more about that, but I want that sentence that I just said to slide on over to someone else in their division so they can see what harmony, they can understand what harmony is like. Okay? That's how you do it. Exactly the way they do it.
All right. Let me add the other points with Philadelphia. I think adding Malik Jackson from Jacksonville, I think that's a huge pickup, man. Go with Fletcher Cox right up there. I mean, this is disgusting.
It's over.
Now they do have their cornerbacks are still weak. I mean, no team is perfect.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So if you're ever going to take advantage of the Philadelphia Eagles, is you better hope you can hold up with the passing and make sure your wide receiver wins one on one versus their wide receivers. And I think Dallas, if they ever were to play them, that's why they probably split because. I think, assuming Ezekiel Elliott plays it, absolutely, because I think, you know, Cooper could actually beat Darnsby one-on-one coverage. I mean, that's talking about when they play. Now, the Cowboys situation, they are similar. They have a great offense, it used to be great, but very good offensive line. I just think they have balanced their defense is just as out on paper as the Eagles. I mean, they're almost damn near mirror images of each other. Except I think Wentz is the better quarterback, but Prescott is not going to mess you up. He's not going to screw up a lot of games. If you look at the other two teams, you know what? I would have said if I had not known about the Golden Tate situation, I would have easily said the Giants finished third. I don't even think I'm as confident, man, because I look at it like this, and I said it earlier in this episode, if the Giants offensive line could be what they can be, they'll finish third. If they not, they'll finish last. It's just that simple with me. I think the Redskins defense, I think they, you know, adding Landon Collins, you know he's going to be motivated to play us as long as he's not injured. They have a whole bunch of guys on the Alabama side of things defensively with Allen and Payne. They got a pass rusher that we probably don't have. They still got the old man Kerrigan. Offensive line is still a hole. Their offensive line is in more in shambles than any team within the division. I mean, outside of Scherf, who got the contract, Moses, their tackle situation is the worst in the division. That's included Solder, and we got Peters. Trent Williams is holding out. That's not good. They even thought about throwing Eric Flowers at left tackle. That is not a good situation.
Oh my God.
But they got Haskins, and we'll see how that's going to pan out. And that's who a lot of Giant fans wanted.
Oh my God.
But, you know, I think it really, to me, man, we're going to finish third. We're not going to go second. We're not going to go first. It really matters to me how this offensive line of ours is if we finish third or fourth. That's how I look at it. Let's see. Let's get some final thoughts. Kristen, final thoughts. We're getting into some preseason Hall of Fame game. I guess next week we'll be back as far as after the Giants-Jet game. We'll be on after the game as soon as it ends or around 10 o'clock and discuss it as it's going. We'll say we'll be on at 10 o'clock. We'll put it at 10 o'clock. Chris, the final thoughts, both divisions, our squad, anything with the NFL, anything with our Yankees, if you want to throw that in. And then, of course, Chris, and then we'll wrap up.
I don't have enough time to talk about the Yankees. But If I was really gonna bet for money, this is exactly how I would play it.
Okay.
Cowboys, Eagles, Redskins, Giants.
Cowboys, Eagles, Red.
Oh, yeah, honestly, that's what I would. If we were to bet, those are that's the lineup I would have chose.
I don't know if I want to do that bet. Honestly, that's too much. That's too much. Okay, I'm competitive. I want to win bets, but I don't want to root for the Cowboys. Let me think about
that. Yeah, I don't either.
I hear you.
Think about that.
Right.
I don't want to. Yeah, I'm the worst person. I am the last person to be uttering those words, but trust me, I can't stand any of them, from management all the way down. I can't. It's just ridiculous. But, right. You know, I want to come out week one, gums blazing. Let's show them how to do it. Let's show them in Dallas. Let's show them that it's a new year, and we're not scared, and we're going to get right in it, and we're going to be aggressive. That's all I want to see. I want to see that O-line be explosive. I want the defense to do – I just want everybody to do their job. Play your position, do your job, and hopefully we'll do better than everybody thinks we will. But thank you guys for having me. It was a lot of fun, and it was nice to hear from you, Chris.
Thanks
for
being on.
I'll be back.
All right. Lit couldn't be back, so we'll get to Chris. Your final thoughts, Chris. I guess the votes are in. We are going post-game next week. I like that idea.
Yes,
I think we're going to have an animated post-game.
And I'm sorry. I know there's quite a few. I have a question, and I know there's quite a few Giant fans listening all over to this podcast, but I have a question that I have to ask not only you, Azul, but I have to ask Christian as well. I've been away, as you know, and I still am. I've missed almost everything, but I have a question, and it's a bleed blue question.
Okay.
I thought that we pinstripers, or as Steve likes to call them, savages.
Monday we're Marcus
Stroman, what happened? I got a little time. I want to use my time to ask this question. What happened to attaining at least two quality starting pitchers at trade deadline MLB? Sorry, football fan, I had to ask this question. It's very important.
That's okay.
Savage Christian.
Honestly.
Go ahead, Kristen.
Honestly, I've been talking about Devi Garcia. You know, he doesn't need to be traded. He's not going to be trade bait.
They traded
so everybody
Garcia?
Needs to stop that. They're not going to trade him out. Devi Garcia, who's in AAA. Okay, so he's in our farm already. So I think Cashman didn't get anybody for the simple fact that if we start to tank, he's going to grab Devi and bring him up. There's no trade involved. He's one of our own. He's homegrown. The kid's 20 years old. His pitches are phenomenal. He's never been touched. No injuries. Why not? No money. Give him his little contract.
I'll take it a step further.
And I think that's the only logical thing I could think of. I wouldn't mind Stroman, honestly. But obviously, Cashman knows what he's doing, and I trust in, you know, how he thinks, and he thinks we're okay. But for me, I cannot rely on Kansas. Personally, I cannot rely on CeCe. This is it for him. You know, every time you see this guy, he's cut down one inning.
Christian, every time I look at the box score, they gave up 6 or 7 runs, though. That's
right. Off the bat. They're hitting home runs off the first
every game.
This is 8 games in a row.
You can't win a series like that. And as much as I like Gabby, sorry, he doesn't have the postseason experience.
Real quick, because of time. I'll say this.
Yeah.
Honestly, and this is more of you, Chris, or both of you, because you guys and gals, really well. This is more of a Hank and Hal situation, because had this, you know, George Steinbrenner been alive, he would overspend to get whatever, whoever he paid the tax. See, that's the difference in the ownership as well. So you got to kind of have to watch. They're not going to go out like how George would. I mean, you could summarize it up in that fashion. And be quite honest, the available starters or relievers, they're not A quality anyway. Not even Stroman. As much as I think for Stroman, I mean, I don't think the Yankees want to give up their prospects and their talent pool for a guy, you know, who's probably going to be a third, fourth starter anyway. It sucks, but hey, you know what? Our pitchers, Paxton in particular from Seattle, and they got to play. They got to pitch better. And CeCe's just a little too old.
Right.
And Tanaka, half and passes just have to pitch better. I mean, it's just it's that fast. They don't have to be great, but just get us to 5 or 6, and then the bullpen. They're not off the hook either. They're not off the hook either.
And we can rotate. Right.
They've been a strain because of the bad start of pitch. It's been a domino effect. They've been bad because of the starters, and they've been getting in the games earlier than they have to. All right, we're out of time. We'll be back next week, Chris.
Sangre azul after the game.
Okay, sangre azul, bleed blue.
Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop.